Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. In the third month, from the very day the Israelites left the land of Egypt, they came to the Sinai wilderness. They traveled from Rephidim, came to the Sinai wilderness, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Moses went up to the mountain to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. This is what you must say to the house of Jacob and explain to the Israelites. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. These are the words that you are to say to the Israelites. After Moses came back, he summoned the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. Then all the people responded together, "We will do all that the Lord has spoken." So Moses brought the people's words back to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Lord God, thank you for blessing us with the knowledge of these holy words. Through the scripture, we are able to bear witness to the intimate promises you made to your people Israel. Help us to feel the beautiful weight of these lines. Help us to hear your voice and to truly understand that these words are those of the one true God. Lord, we're so grateful that because of the gift of your Son, we live under the grace of a new covenant. The promises we read here are not only for Israel, but have been extended to the people of every nation, every tribe, every culture, and every language. As adopted sons and daughters, you swept down and redeemed us, bringing each of us to you on eagle's wings. By your grace, you have made us yours. We thank you for the immense privilege of being called to know you and walk with you as priests. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. You may be seated. So every trip you've ever taken, and for those of you who went on a vacation this summer, you kind of reflect back. You have those good moments and those bad moments, right? You have times where things go well and when things don't. So earlier this spring, I had the chance to go to South Africa for the first time in part of the Good Book Project that I was a part of. And so if I ever felt like a rock star, it was during that time, because we flew from Atlanta to Johannesburg, and then we went on like this four-city tour of doing a pastor's conference, getting on a plane, going to the next town, to the next, and it was just this great, wonderful adventure until we got ready to fly back to the United States. So we went to the airport in Johannesburg. We were going to fly directly to Atlanta, and we got there, and there was no airplane. So if you're not familiar with air travel, that's a problem, all right? So we were there, but our airplane, there was weather in the Northeast, and our machinery didn't make it there. And so they said, you know, that flight is completely canceled, but here, stand in this line for 4 hours, and we might get you on a plane to Paris, and then from there we'll get you to Atlanta. So, well, what choice do we have? So for 4 hours, we waited in this line at the Delta counter, not sure if we would have a place. We did. We finally got on board, flew to Paris, got there that morning. I like to say that we breakfasted in Paris. It was just a bagel at an airport cafe, all right? We jumped on another plane and flew over to Atlanta, and thanks to the slowest TSA agent on planet Earth, we missed our flight to Tulsa by 10 minutes. Now, we had been in the air. We've been traveling for well over 2 days at this point. We were exhausted, and as we're at the Delta counter talking to the lady, my wife melted. She melted down. Now, she didn't get angry. She just put her head down and started sobbing as we learned there were no more seats to Tulsa that day. And the lady said, "Ma'am, are you okay?" I said, "She's fine. We're exhausted. We've been in the air. We've been traveling for 2 days." So she started working on her computer. She said, let's get you a nice hotel here tonight. So I turned to my wife and I go, "Cry a little more. This is good. Yeah, cry a little more." And then, you know, she started sobbing more. Let's get you a meal here at the airport tonight. And I said, "Wail a little bit. And then we're going to get you breakfast tomorrow morning." You know, I like free stuff, you know. And so we were, in my opinion, my wife was ready to get home. We hit the jackpot, right? Another day of vacation. Let's live this up, right? So every journey is like that. You have the good parts and the bad parts, but then when you step back, you see it as a whole and you go, that was an adventure, right? So the Israelites have been freed from slavery. We've been walking through this summer. Kind of this has been our church summer vacation. We've been walking this summer through their liberation from Egypt, from slavery. Now they're 2 months into it. In fact, this is the first day of the third month. And they look back and want an adventure. I mean, here they went through the desert. They could have gone by the coastal road and they needed God's guidance. They certainly got that. They needed food. They needed water. They needed daily provisions. They needed God in the emergency. They saw him at the Red Sea. I mean, all of these things were working together. What an incredible journey. Listen, this is not just a history lesson. This is not about a look at the Israelites. That's cool. This is about us. We're on this journey of life, and it's quite the adventure, right, with all its ups and downs. So the first day of the third month, they finally get to Mount Sinai, where they're going to receive the law. What we oftentimes refer to as the Ten Commandments. You know what this journey has been around, about from the first point until now? God is trying to teach his people, here's how you live in freedom. Here's how you live as free people. I think God is still trying to teach us that today. We no longer have to live as slaves to sin and self. We can live in freedom, okay? So here's what God says. And by the way, in community groups, if you're using the pastor's cut, you dealt with the Ten Commandments this morning in Exodus 20. This is Exodus 19, so it's kind of the preamble before this. God says, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I love these phrases. Eagle's wings. Egypt was your nest. I kicked you out of the nest because I wanted you to learn how to fly as free people. And this would be a Palestinian eagle that, like the American bald eagle, can just glide endlessly and tirelessly. God says, you know what? Every limitation you thought you had, I surpassed that. Limitations are not an obstacle if you just follow me. So in the late 1800s, there was an Episcopal bishop, very respectful man. One night told his two sons over dinner, man will never fly, only man, only angels are permitted by God to fly. Well, that bishop was named Bishop Wright. And the two boys sitting at the table were Orville and Wilbur. So there was a limitation blown. 1903, they operated manned flight for the first time. Now, get into the 1920s. Wilbur's dead. Orville is still alive. And Orville says, no plane will ever fly from New York to Paris nonstop. Well, here comes Charles Lindbergh in 1927. We all have these limitations in our mind that we bump up against. When you follow Christ, many of those limitations become irrelevant. God can do more in and through your life than you would ever imagine possible. So I brought you out on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Listen, every event that happens in life carries within it the seeds to bring you closer to or farther away from God. Your choice. You heard what Shannon shared here a minute ago. That event could easily have scarred her and distanced her from God. Every event can either harden you or it can soften you, can bring you closer to God or drive you further away. It's up to you. I pray that we learn to see every event as a way that God brings us to himself. So he's brought us there. He's brought us to himself so that we can learn this thing called freedom. And this goes on. Now, if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, again, this is leading up to the Ten Commandments, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples, though the whole earth is mine. But you will be my kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Moses, these are the words you are to say to Israel. So I see a couple of pivotal pieces in this passage. First of all, listen. Listen. In that one word, it tells us something. That God is a self-revealing God. God wants us to know him. He wants us to know about him. He wants us to hear his voice. God is a God that communicates. The trouble is, for all of us, it's not that God is not speaking. It's that for most of us, we're not listening. Men, have you ever apologized to your wife when you didn't know exactly what you did wrong? Word from the wise. Don't do that, okay? It'll just make her more upset. Guys, you aren't laughing. You are leaving me out here by myself this morning. I know I'm not the only one to have done this, okay? Because my wife doesn't want me to say I'm sorry. She wants me to understand her. She wants me to understand what I did wrong or what I need to do better. Listen, God wants to be understood. He wants you to listen to him. Let me make this very practical. Let me give you one thing you can do to start listening to God this week. When you wake up in the morning, and I know I'm not the only one who does this. I've gotten in the really bad habit when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I reach for is this. I want to see text messages, emails, social media. I want to know what's going on. And what happens to me, and this might just be me, but I think it happens to all of us, whether we're aware of it or not. I start my day by being fragmented, going off in a lot of different directions, and that leaves me frustrated. Or I begin here being overwhelmed, and that makes me anxious at the very beginning of the day. So let me encourage you this week, do a radical overhaul of this pattern. Instead of reaching for this, leave it aside. Reach for a couple other things. Reach for this first. Say, the first words I hear today, I want it to be from the Scripture. Now, if your Bible is on your phone, you're in big trouble. No, you can do that. I would encourage you to have your Bible somewhere else because it'll be too tempting. If you open your Bible here, first text message that pops up, you're off in a different direction, okay? Have it somewhere separate. God, I'm wanting to listen here. And then say, all right, God, it's going to be a busy day today. There's something I need to know. I'm listening right now. Do you see we have two things that help us at the very beginning of the day? The Scripture and God's Spirit. God, I want to be in step with you today. Now, this is not a legalism. This is not something you should feel guilty if you don't do. But I would encourage this at the beginning of the day because you're setting the priority for the day. Before I handle what's on my iPhone, I want to handle what's in God's Word. I want that to be first. And you're setting the pattern that may follow you for the rest of the day of listening to Him first and foremost. Okay? Listen. And then keep my covenant. God says, I'm about to tell you some things. I want you to do it. Keep my covenant. Now, here's a very simple fact. You reveal your beliefs by your behavior. How you behave reveals what you really believe. I don't care what you say in church on Sunday. How you behave reveals what you really believe. So you can sit here and go, oh, family time is very important. But every time you're with your kids, you're looking at a screen and not paying attention to them. How you behave reveals what you really believe. Obviously, family time's not that important to you. You can say, well, I really love my friend. But then every opportunity you get behind their back, you are tearing them down. Listen, how you behave reveals what you really believe. You can say you love them, but your behavior is saying otherwise. We've been talking about sharing our faith. You can say, oh, this is really important to me. Well, do you ever open your mouth and talk about Christ? Have you been doing that simple thing I've asked all of us to do? 1 o'clock every day, pray for one person for 1 minute who doesn't know Christ. That's it. Simple. It's raising that awareness. So if you say, well, Christ is important, but you're not doing some very simple behaviors, your behaviors reveal what you really believe. Now follow this thought. Our behaviors reveal our beliefs. Our behaviors can also revolutionize our beliefs. When I've learned how to play golf, nothing about that swing felt natural. No amen in there anywhere. Nothing about that. But the instructor said, do it this way. And so I did it. And you know what? It worked. And so my behavior started forming a new way of thinking and a new way of believing that if I just do it this way, the ball won't go quite as far this way as it would have otherwise. Okay. So listen, our behaviors reveal our beliefs. Our behaviors can also renovate our beliefs. God says, you might not believe me yet. Just try this. Just live this way. Trust, do this. Listen to me and keep my covenant. And if you do this, you will be, look at that phrase in the third line, my own possession. The phrase there is actually my special possession. That phrase is used in Chronicles. It's used in Ecclesiastes to refer to the king's own personal treasures. There would be the treasures of the kingdom, but this would be the king's special treasures. Okay, Now, I'm about to geek out on you here. Get ready. I'm a coin collector. I told you I was going to geek out on you. For a guy who loves history, loves coins, for some reason I got into collecting Lincoln pennies. I own every Lincoln penny ever minted, but there's one that's especially difficult to come by. It is a Lincoln penny minted in 1909, first year the penny was minted. The Lincoln penny went from Indian head to Lincoln penny. It's minted in San Francisco, so it has a little S on it for San Francisco. And on the back, it has VDB for Victor D. Benner, who designed the penny. So what happened as these pennies started to be minted, had his initials on the back, people got real upset. There was a big kerfuffle over minting these. That's the word of the day that I had. I had to just throw it out. Go look up kerfuffle. So there's this controversy about the guy who carved this penny putting his name on the back of it or his initials on the back. So they took the initials off. They deleted the initials. So there's only a few pennies in circulation. That's a 1909 S VDB. They're worth upward to $2,000 to $3,000. I've got one. Okay. Now, it's in really bad shape. So it's not monetarily, it's not worth that much, but it's a rarity, okay? So if the house is burning down, that's my special possession, okay? Kids are on their own. I'm getting that. It's my special, it's the prize of my collection. Again, I tell you, it's worth just a couple of, you know, about $50 or so. That's all it's worth, but it's special because it's so rare. God says, that's who I want you to be. As my people, if you will just listen to me and trust me enough, you'll be the most special possession I have over all the earth. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be? A collection of people who follow Jesus and the way of Jesus together. Okay? So, here's the key to passion. And I know we've been talking a lot about passion recently in our church. God says, I want you to listen to me. I want you to keep my covenant. You'll be my special possession. After Moses came back, he summoned the elders and the people and set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded. The people responded, we will do all the Lord has spoken. You get this? They said yes before they knew the terms of the covenant. Before God even gave them the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the people said yes. A couple of weeks ago, I did a wedding right here. The groom was so excited. I started to give the vows. Will you take so-and-so? Yes. I go, let me finish. There might be something in here you don't like. But he didn't care. He just said yes. Okay. So if you want passion in your relationship with the Lord, here's what you do. Right now, before you get into this week, before you even know what God's going to ask you to do, right now in your heart, say yes. God, whatever you're going to ask me out there, yes. Okay, before I even know what it is, because you're not trusting the command. You're trusting God's character. That you want to listen to him, that his way is best. So I'm going to give you just a moment. I don't want you to say it out loud, because this is not, I don't want you to showboat. But right now, with you and God in the room, if you need to tell him yes in advance, give him that nod right now. Yeah, you got it. So what's going to happen for some of you this week is you're going to get to that moment and you're going to be aware of what God's asking you to do, and you're going to flash back to right now and you said, I said yes, here goes. Then you do it. And when you say yes before you even know what God's going to ask, that's where passion, that's where the adventure of following Christ comes in. It's not the safe thing that produces passion. It's the risky act of obedience that produces passion. Yes. So God would go on in Exodus 20 to give the Ten Commandments. By the way, I hope we're past the point now of worrying about where the Ten Commandments are posted on a Capitol lawn. The best place to display the Ten Commandments is not on a lawn, it's in your life. You live them, okay? That's the best place to display them. And the Ten Commandments really are very simple. Here's how you love God and here's how you love others. Didn't Jesus say those were the greatest commands? So I'm teaching now my third kid how to drive. He's my last child. I just now am beginning to understand what to do. All right. should have more kids now than I know how to teach them how to drive. I'm going to teach, I'll charge you some money. You let me teach your kids how to drive. When my kids get behind the wheel, I said, there's three things I want you to do. And we'll talk about mirrors and gears and steering wheel and all that. Here's three things. Maintain your lane, maintain your speed, maintain your cool. If you do those three things, you can literally drive anywhere in the world. Maintain your lane, maintain your speed, unless it's 95 miles an hour, and maintain your cool. Right? These 10 commandments that God gives, they transfer anywhere. You can live in any culture. You can live in any environment. And they work. Will we listen to him? Will we say yes? Now I'm going to camp out on one more idea, and then we're going to be finished up. And I'm going to ask whatever attention span you have left, bring it in right now. You're going to need it. Obedience is a challenge. As we obey these 10 commandments on how to love God and how to put him first and foremost and how to love other people, instead of living a life of taking, we live a life of giving and sacrifice. Really, that's just boiling it down. Obedience is a challenge. It's disobedience that makes life hard. Okay? So telling the truth, sometimes that's a challenge, especially when the truth makes us look bad. But it's when we lie that life becomes hard. Faithfulness in marriage, that's a challenge. Okay? Absolutely it is. But it's when we practice unfaithfulness, that's when life becomes hard. Okay? Loving other people is a challenge. A lot of times. I didn't mean to say it with that much inflection, but it just came out a lot of times. But it's when we hate people that life becomes hard. And here's where I want to just do a little sidebar here. I think all of us need to hear both parts of this. There are two kinds of hatred that are incompatible with the follower of Jesus. One is racism. In case you don't know it, I'm going to say it again. Listen, racism is incompatible with a follower of Jesus. You know why? Because you've never met a person who is not made in God's image, and you have never met a person for whom Jesus died. Just our creation and the theology of redemption means that every person has value, and how dare any of us degrade anybody else because of their race. By the way, for you white people here, can I remind us, Jesus wasn't white. He wasn't. Racism is incompatible with the follower of Jesus, as is hatred for those you disagree with. And I'm going to say this very carefully because I've seen some things posted on social media this week that are truly cringeworthy. Okay? I want you to hear me very clearly. Just because you believe you are right does not entitle us to act in ways that are unloving. I can be absolutely convinced that I'm right, but that does not entitle me to act in ways that are unloving. I am called even to love, who did Jesus say? Your enemies. Man. So if you have trouble with posting things or saying things a little too quickly online, I would encourage you to do a couple of things. Put 1 Timothy 4:12 over your computer. Set an example for all believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Put over your computer Psalm 50. Create in me a clean heart, O God, because love is a challenge, absolutely, but it's hatred, and we're seeing this, that makes life hard. So if we lived 100 years ago, we would all know the name Robert Perry. Robert Perry supposedly was the first man to stand on the North Pole. He'd taken this huge expedition to the North Pole. One of the people on this trip with him, with Robert Perry, was Matthew Henson. Matthew Henson was born in 1866. He was born a year after the Civil War. He was the son of a slave, and he was one of the guides on this expedition. And as Perry and Henson were making their way to the North Pole, they were actually walking in tandem. One would walk a mile or so ahead, then the other would catch up and pass, and they would walk in tandem for supplies and security and all these things. It was actually Matthew Henson, not Robert Perry. It was Matthew Henson, the son of a slave, that reached the North Pole first. You can imagine that caused some division and some strife about who got credit, but Matthew Henson stood there, and when Robert Perry was approaching, he said, I believe I'm the first man to stand on the top of the world. A slave standing, or the son of a slave, standing on the top of the world. Didn't God do the same thing here in Exodus 19? He brought people who were slaves to standing on the top of the world. God saying, here's who I am, and here's who I want you to be. You're no longer slaves. You are free. And you know what? We don't come to a Mount Sinai. We come to a mount called Calvary, where Jesus laid down his life for us. For us, that is the top and the center of the world. And when we meet him here at the cross, we are free. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. Father, I pray that we would be the kind of people that you talked about to Moses, that we would be the kind of people to listen to you, that we would make that a priority in our lives, that we would be the kind of people that would keep your covenant, that our beliefs and our behaviors would be in sync, and where we don't have the right beliefs yet, we would behave in a way that's you have revealed anyway, so that maybe our behaviors can renovate our beliefs. And thank you that you have promised to make us your special possession, your prized people, not because we are special, but because there's a certain blessing that goes along with just saying to you, yes. I want to offer you that chance right now. We do this quite often. If you're a follower of Jesus, to say that confession that has been said for 2,000 years, very simple. Jesus is Lord. If you're a follower of Jesus, would you say that with me right now? Jesus is Lord. And in that is our yes today, that you are Lord of all. Jesus, we love you. Help us to know that moment of yes this week, that we would trust you enough to obey. It's in your name we offer our prayer. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.